Okay, this panel is panel number 15. This panel is called Leaders of Investor Clubs, sharing insights on how to work with them, groups like them, and how to make it through their screening process. One thing I've realized is that I'm not competing with anybody that's here in the room. So everything I learn, I just try to share with you during the event at the masterminds. We try to share a lot per hour. If you've been to those before, I try to add as much value as possible. And one thing I've learned is that to grow my investor club as fast as possible, I want to make friends with other people who run investor clubs, investment platforms that have 100 investors or thousands of investors each. We have one group on stage here today that has 138,000 investors, believe it or not. And so the more that we can bring those other investor clubs into Family Office Club, the more that you benefit greatly. If you're looking to learn from how other investor clubs are investing, conducting due diligence, or if you make one relationship with someone that's on stage here, it's not just meeting one investor, it might be getting access to 100 investors or 5,000 investors, right? So that's exponential progress with one relationship. If that's the only person you came away as a friend with after this event, then that could be great, and they have great insights to share with you. So we're doing this more and more within our club. If there's other investor clubs that you think need to be here, it'd be a great partner of Family Office Club, let us know. We're looking for people that are like-minded of who you see on stage here. From Camel Plan, let's have you introduce yourself, and then we'll work down the line and just do a quick intro of kind of who you are and a bit about your company, and then we'll get right into the questions. And I hope that we have some questions from the audience for this panel. It's been a little bit light on questions over the Super Summit, but Carl, go ahead.
Richard, first, I want to tell you thank you for inviting and putting this on as usual. It's gets better every time I come up. We're always looking for different investment categories. Our clients like to diversify into many different areas. We're out of Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, and I'm really happy to be here, and thank you guys for all showing up.
Appreciate it, Carl. And Carl is one of a couple partners that backed us when we acquired commercialrealestate.com, so definitely appreciate that. All right, John?
We're also what we like to refer to as a directed IRA custodian. So that means folks can use their IRAs, 401ks, solo 401ks, SEP IRAs. I like to speak very passionately about a Roth IRA because it compounds tax-free for the rest of your life. And so we hold what are referred to as hard-to-value assets. So private equity, private direct deals, a lot of real estate. I've owned real estate in my self-directed accounts. I do private money lending with my self-directed accounts. There's a lot of unique ways in which one can direct their IRA funds outside of the publicly traded markets. And we hold over $45 billion in privately held assets under custody within IRAs, 401ks, and other retirement plans. We're based out of Cleveland, Ohio, and I've known Carl for a really, really long time. Actually, I'll say I learned a lot from Carl. As you can tell, he's been around a little bit longer than I have been around. And so we're very friendly competitors. And ultimately, what I think I can speak for both of us, what we're trying to do is disrupt this whole notion that the only way to invest with a retirement account is the 60-40 model. You know, 60% equities, 40% fixed income. And you'll hear this narrative in the market about allocating portions of an IRA or 401k into the private markets. And there's a lot of evidence out there that you can seek higher yield and then also reduce your risk during a downturn. And that's been proven time and time again, but the average American doesn't have access to the private markets. But through technology, through the efforts of Richard and a lot of folks that are in this room, we're now starting to see that Main Street America has access to the private markets. And ultimately, we're the custodian that carries that torch and is the underlying entity that helps support that mission that a lot of investment sponsors and promoters are out speaking in the marketplace.
Great. Thank you, John. Yeah, and one way to look at these two on the panel is that they have thousands and thousands of investors on their platform, and it's through them that they get to do direct investments through an IRA or a 401k. And so someone might say, oh, sorry, I'm not liquid right now. I can't invest in your deal. But they may not be happy with where the stock market is, may not believe that those prices are real, that they're artificially inflated. They may feel better investing in a discounted piece of hard real estate that maybe they're acquiring at 20% below what they think it's really going to be worth long term, and they trust that more than having all their money locked in the stock market. So that's one way that people leverage a platform like this, is to help unlock capital with an investor that otherwise doesn't feel like they're liquid to make a direct investment.
We actually founded the group because we felt like the traditional investment club model was broken. We felt that it was archaic. And so what we've done is really tried to fill two gaps that we've seen in the industry. Number one being the investors, you come into a traditional investment club and there's deals being sanctioned, there's money being thrown around, but what's happening is they're not really a connection to the person themselves. And there's not a sense of community being built. So you're investing and you're putting your money to a certain source, but do you really know who you're getting into bed with? And so what we're trying to do is create a community of collaborative individuals that come in and actually get to know each other on a much deeper level. I actually was just at a meeting this past weekend where I had the great pleasure of listening to Damon John. And Damon said that out of all of the deals that he's sourced, the ones that are most successful are the ones where he bought the human. And so that's what we're trying to do. The second gap that we're really looking to close is that we want to redefine wealth. And what that means is by focusing on the health of the individual. So one of our partners in this, he is a longevity specialist, and he's found that 80% of people over the age of 40 have an underlying condition they know nothing about. So what we're doing is we're bringing in different partners in the health and longevity space to create opportunity to really work on you as a human so that you can in turn provide those types of solutions to your clients. Imagining how invaluable you become if you can save your client's life, if you can put them in front of people and resources that can actually make a difference. The money's great, the deals come because of the connection. So that's what we've been doing in our space.
Great. Thank you, Brittany. So I met Brittany's partner, Brian Sweet, through Strategic Coach and helped us with acquiring billionaires.com. And he also just completed an audio interview with a billionaire about 10 days ago. We're going to be releasing probably next week over an email blast and posting it on billionaires.com. So I just appreciate you being here and sharing your wisdom here on stage.
So we're an online community of limited partners, passive investors that are asset class agnostic. We're based out of Columbus, Ohio, but we have, like I mentioned, a heavy online presence. And everything you said as well, you know, we want to know, like, and trust the people that we wind up investing with and develop that community where we all can kind of collaboratively grow and learn together. Keep it short and sweet.
Great. Thank you, Pat. Yeah. Forrest Bryant is up next. We've thrown axes and shotguns and gone whitewater rafting together and got to know each other the last 7 or 8 years, and he's going to introduce himself now.
Thank you for having me. We are we have some elements of our business that looks like an investor club. We are a community of doctors and dentists. Where we may be different from some others is that we're structured as an investment advisory firm. So we're a registered investment advisory firm that is emerging as a multifamily office. So our community and our live events look very much like Family Office Club that you guys are used to here. Typically, the way I see it is two sides of the room. You have one side that's capital and one side that's deals, and it's very, very much structured like that in here, where you have family offices, single family offices, wealth managers, multifamily offices, and RIAs. And on the other side, you got a lot of you that are here that are investment sponsors, and you've got great deals that need capital. And so our community is very similar to that, where one of the big differences is our investors, our doctors and dentists, are not $500 million family offices. A lot of them are, you know, $5 million to $20 million high net worth, ultra high net worth investors, and almost all of them are business owners. So the way that we're structured is helping them with financial planning and wealth management and business consulting to help them grow their businesses and understand some things. I love the longevity and the health and wellness aspect. So we're wrapping all of that up in order to serve our clients the best that we can. And we've also built a platform of alternative investments. So it's real heavy in real estate, private equity, venture capital. And I know we'll get into the due diligence on what that looks like for our community. And I think I'll stop there. I'm sure we'll we'll keep going, but thank you for having me.
Great, thank you. Jared?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. We were founded back in 2013. We tend to focus on early stage, post-product, post-revenue, SaaS tech-based opportunities. I always call them Silicon Valley style of deals, if you will. So we're not looking at a ton of real estate. We're not looking at a ton of alternative investments. We tend to look for fintech, marketing technology, things of that nature. Group of 150 or so members from across the globe, Africa, Europe, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Bay Area, et cetera. Portfolio of more than 60 companies. And that's us. Yeah, thank Great. You. Appreciate it.
So, Jared, what's more exciting than anything else? Is it agritech? Is it health tech? Is there some niche within health tech, like a sub-niche that you're most excited about and would love to source a deal on here today?
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be in a particularly novel answer, but I think generative AI, large language models, things of that nature are quite intriguing. And even if it's not intriguing to me, it's intriguing to our investors. And largely what my role is to give them what they want. And so that's a big focus area for us right now.
Okay, great. And Pat, for yourself and Left Field Investors, what is the most in-demand thing that you don't have access to yet, or what does best within your community, you think?
Right. So we've primarily been a multifamily shop for a while, and obviously with all the interest rate caps and floating rate, that's kind of gotten people turned off and disinterested in that. So really what we've been looking for, self-storage, mobile home parks, that type of thing, but primarily debt, so that you can stay somewhat liquid and have a decent amount of a redemption call. So when everything does turn around, we can jump right back into multifamily. So that's really, I think, the major draw we've seen from our community. But in terms of access, a lot of those deals require $500,000 or up. And that's just not something our investor base can natively handle.
Right, great. And Brittany, with your team, what is it that your clients ask for most often from you, or what types of opportunities would they appreciate? You know, traditional wealth advisors are typically managing public market activities, but do they sometimes ask you for specific types of real estate deals or private company deals for your clients?
Yeah, so typically what's happening here is we're actually not facilitating or sanctioning the deals. We are putting anybody who comes into our group, like I said, in a setting where they're able to collaborate with others. So by opening up this level of transparency, this open communication, levels of vulnerability because of the different health practices that we put in place, that's actually where deals are made. So we do have people go through a vetting process where we understand some of their, what we call it is what they think they want and what they think they need. And then we actually give them what they truly need in forms of their health. But that way we're able to put them in contact with our expanded networks so that whatever they are looking for, be it, you know, real estate, you know, whatever it is that they're sourcing for, we can put them in front of who they need to talk to. But we're actually taking the stress out of the founders, out of the people who are running the group, and letting them doing their deal sanctioning on their own.
Great. Makes sense. Okay. And then for Carl and John, I understand, you know, when you run a platform like you both do, you can't be sponsoring a deal, syndicating a deal, pushing a deal, you know, getting paid by a sponsor to promote a deal and push capital into it from all your client accounts, et cetera. It has to be a little bit more, you know, arm's length, like maybe a little bit of education, et cetera. So, but Carl, in your case with Camaplan, what do you see as the most often thing that you know that your investors are looking for, you know, across thousands of clients that would do best on the Camaplan platform?
That's pretty easy. Real estate is probably number one, and notes, mortgages is probably the second. Private funds, syndications is right up there. That's probably another third, and then precious metals and other types of avenues. Those are the top four that are people try to invest in. So coming to an event like this, we like to find out who's the best in class, educate our clients on those products, and lower the risk by having them understand the risks and understand the business.
Sure. Makes sense. And I know sometimes with a health savings account or certain types of IRA accounts, there's limits to how much you can put in. So sometimes it's important to have low minimums for self-directed IRA accounts. I know some left field investors, because they use these accounts or just because they're a lower high net worth investor, love to have 25, 50K minimums sometimes, not always have to put up $200,000 per investment, et cetera, and with now 2,000 investors inside of Left Field Investors, it can still aggregate to bringing in $1 million or $2 million across an offering being shown there. What's the minimums that you see, Carl, that do the best with Cayman Plan? Is it 25K or 50K or lower?
25K is generally one. Once they get to know you, I mean, we had one person come in and they acted like 25,000 was all the money they had, you know, and we said to them, I don't know if this is really the right platform to be on with you. But they said, well, I just want to try it out. And after they put the 25,000 a year and a half later and it paid off, you know, they came in with $2.5 million. So I think some of the lower minimums will bring people in and let them get to know you and understand the process, et cetera, and
sure,
of course, know us.
Sure. And John, what would you say on your platform? What goes the fastest? Like, what are a couple of specific things you think that are the most popular?
Yeah, so I'd say it really runs the gamut because you have the individual that can go out and find opportunities and deals on their own. You know, so as far as in the spirit of having a small amount of money, a quick example, I met a client actually from Cincinnati, Dayton, Ohio area. I think there's a few folks that are out there. And he only had 13,000 and some change in his Roth IRA. And he put a deal together. It was a single family residential fix and flip deal. He brought in a joint venture money partner, brought in his 13,000 and some change, flipped the house, took 50% of the profits, and he made $34,000 tax-free in his Roth IRA. I did a deal where I bought a house. This was 2 years ago with my self-directed Roth account, bought it for $63,000, sold it 2 years later for $115,000, paid no long-term capital gains, all tax-free in the Roth IRA. So there are people, and going back 15 years ago when I started, there are a lot of folks that want to self-direct, they want to go out and find the opportunity and take it down and put in the effort to make that happen and add the value. On the other side, you have a lot of investors that don't know how to invest exactly. They don't know exactly where to find opportunities. And I think investor clubs like that are being talked about here are great opportunities. What we identified about 4 years ago, and I've worked really, really hard on, is developing marketing platforms and systems to really help a investment sponsor or promoter be able to grow their business organically and even go outside of the pie that they're working in now with respect to IRAs. So a couple examples of how we've learned to do that, even within our regulatory guidelines and restrictions. Because the first question I always get from every investment sponsor and promoter is, how do I do a webinar to your clients? And I'll tell you that from a regulatory perspective, it's not that easy. Because we're a directed custodian, we're a non-fiduciary custodian, so we don't have a massive database that we can just open you up to so that you can tap into. A couple things quickly that we've done. The first is we've developed a system called investmentdistrict.com, which is essentially, I call it a buffet of options, private market options. And so as an investment sponsor or promoter, you can come to Equity Trust and we can work together to be able to develop a relationship where when you have folks that want to use their IRAs or 401ks, you can seamlessly transition them into a self-directed IRA and get the service you need, the high-touch, white-glove service you need to be able to onboard that customer. And at the same time, we're sending traffic to this investmentdistrict.com website, which would have a tile, in theory, where they can be pushed to some of your material information. And then lastly, over the last year and a half, we developed really the industry-first fully digital alternative asset, completely connected platform. And so think you could invest in a private asset just like you could click a mouse and buy a mutual fund or a stock. So you have the private market exposure without all the friction that would exist in the traditional alternative investment marketplace. And that product that we offer is called WealthBridge. So our customers have the ability to plug into this and easily be able to diversify a portion of their retirement portfolio into a private market portfolio.
Great. Thank you, John. And Forrest, I know you guys spend a lot of time on due diligence tools and, you know, service companies, et cetera. Can you comment a little bit just about some of the best practices in due diligence that you've developed, either like an AI tool or a service company or some sort of insight for the audience there?
Yeah, sure. So with regards to due diligence, when we started our company almost 7 years ago, everything was on me. So like many of you on the stage here, I was trying to learn how to do diligence for my own capital to invest, and then, you know, taking the responsibility for others in doing that. Our business, fortunately, is scaled to the point that we have a full due diligence team. We have a chief investment officer, and we have an investment committee of three, which I still serve on. So we have a very, very, we have a system and a process where we go through where any potential new deals go through the funnel. Then it goes to the investment committee. Once that's approved, then that goes, we have five investment advisors who work with our clients. So once something's approved, then it goes to the planning team, and then the planning team understands where it fits in our asset allocation, where it fits for clients, whether that's private equity or venture capital, real estate, precious metals, or even private credit or public markets as well, which hopefully you get a chance to talk about. But one of the things that I was going to mention just real quickly with regards to due diligence is third-party due diligence companies. I ask a lot of sponsors to come up to me, and they want to get their deals in front of our community. And one of the first questions I ask is, do you have a third-party due diligence report? And a lot of them look at me like, what's that? And it shocks me that even here where we've got a lot of you guys are pitching to family offices and you don't even know what that is. So there are multiple companies out there that will do due diligence on your company or on your fund or even directs. I can drop some names here. Sure. Factright, Buttonwood, Snyder Kearney, Mick Law. Those are four that I can share with you guys. That doesn't mean that a group like ours or a family office is not going to do more due diligence. We do more due diligence on top of that, but that saves us a ton of time. That weeds out a lot of sponsors that just don't have their stuff together. You're not at the level to come to get in front of bigger pools of capital. So, you know, that's one thing that is really good to help you kind of scale up to the next level. So that'd be one thing that I would mention there.
Awesome. And then real quick, Forrest, grown to $1 billion in assets under advisory in only 7 years. So I'm sure some people here in the room would want to hear how you did that.
How did we do that?
Yeah. What's your secret?
So, it's a lot of hard work. And having, you know, really, truly, it's probably about trust and just building relationships with our clients and having really good sponsors who do what they say they're going to do. I mean, that's been part of it. I did want to mention real quick that, there's a lot of paths for a lot of investors that are out there, might be in one of these groups, and the education is so important. Like with the self-directed IRA companies, I mean, this is so important for if you're doing your own due diligence. You can obviously do that on your own. You can be in one of these groups where you got a guide and somebody to help educate you. I know for our clients, we help them. We go even further, and we're doing asset allocation. We understand the risk tolerance and time horizon and objectives. And there's still a lot of people, you know, I mean, a lot of you probably were coming from the public markets, and, you know, there's a reason that you're not there anymore. We wanted to create something new, and so we actually created a separate RIA that does manage those funds. So if you're like a small single family office or a ultra high net worth investor, and you don't want to do that education, or you don't want to engage with an external due diligence company, we've got a product through our new RIA called Tensol Legacy Wealth where we can do that for you. When we can pick the best alternative private investments from our platform, we can also marry that. We all know one of the big problems with that is liquidity. So we're also able to partner that with public market liquidity, and I don't know anybody else that's doing that, but it's pretty unique, and love to talk to any of you about it.
Sure, great. And Jared, can you talk a little bit about due diligence best practices or anything unique you do in due diligence might help investors here that already conduct due diligence but might not be doing it the way you do, and then also the number one reason why your platform's been successful as well, I think might be interesting for everyone to hear.
Yeah. Our group is unique in that I think a lot of angel networks and investor communities tend to be comprised of people that have a high net worth or what have you, but may not necessarily have come from the, you know, Silicon Valley ecosystem, if you will. And when I say Silicon Valley, I mean the proverbial Silicon Valley. I don't mean to say that only good tech companies come from the Bay Area, but I just mean it in the proverbial sense. And Miami Angels The business model, given that it's a nonprofit, it's a membership-based community, it's actually allowed us to build a network that is comprised very heavily of venture capital firms, family offices, things of that nature. So I won't list any, but when you think about some of the biggest venture capital firms in Florida, most of them are members of Miami Angels. And so whenever we're looking at a deal, I think the first thing we do is we reach out to the managing partner of that fund and say, hey, have you seen this deal before? And then they'll hop on a call with our investors and then we'll go back and forth. And so oftentimes it can work in the reverse as well. We're actually closing a deal now. It's the largest deal we've ever closed. And it was exactly that. One of our firms or one of our members is a venture capital firm, a large firm based here in Miami. And they heard that we were talking with the founder. And then from there, a few of our members and that venture capital firm joint diligence over the course of 6 months, which got the call right before this panel. We're closing the deal. We're wiring the capital today. So it's unique in that sense in that it's not a group of individuals with a lot of money that are all just talking about an opportunity. It's a group of people from within and around the industry that are performing diligence.
Sure. Great. Thank you. And Pat, what's been the secret of Left Field Investors kind of exploding in size, more than doubling in size over the last year and a half, 2 years? Like what's the community all about? Why is it growing so quickly compared to other things out there that maybe are shrinking or staying the same?
Yeah. So I really think it's just being completely transparent and authentic with your investors. I mean, we've had a couple incidents on our forums where we've had to make posts to explain why we took the decisions that we did. And that transparency, I think, helped us in the long run.
Can you hold the mic up just a little
yep.
bit closer?
Yep, thanks. And as you mentioned, there's a reason some people aren't in traditional markets anymore. So I think there's just a lot more people being disaffected by that situation. And we're there to, sorry, I have to do a baseball analogy there, to catch the ball when people do. So it's just really about everybody kind of rowing in the same direction and being in the same situation, because I'm learning along with the other investors that we have and the people that present to us. So I'm a part of it, but I'm also an investor along with everybody else.
Sure. Great. We're going to give the panelists one more chance to give their number one insight and just go down the line real quickly. But if there's a question or two in the audience, we can take it. Do a rapid fire question or two for the panelists, just make it a little bit more interactive. We'll try to see if there's a hand raised. We'll bring a microphone over to you. But otherwise, what is one more quick insight from each of you? Maybe we can start with Carl and just go down the line real quick of one more insight you wanted to share at the room here today that you haven't had a chance to share yet.
I guess I would like to say that the way to reduce risk is to have knowledge about your investment and to do your deep due diligence, which a lot of left field investors have been doing, which I became a part of not too long ago.
Awesome. Thank you. John?
I'd say number one for everyone in America, a Roth IRA. I mean, it's just the most powerful tool that I've ever studied, and I've studied a lot of different tax strategies. The ability to convert pre-tax money into post-tax Roth money, be able to grow the account tax-free. There's laws that were passed that went into effect in 2020 with respect to inherited IRAs. A tax-free Roth IRA compounding interest in the absence of taxation is incredibly powerful. And there's a lot of folks, some of which are in this room, that are a great example of that. And if you're looking to tap into IRAs, 401ks, other retirement plans, one of the things that I've found has been very effective is I've joined Zoom calls, webinars, podcasts, all types of different forms, live events, and we've seen a increase in conversion rates because we have the ability to explain that, yes, you can do this, and if you go to your financial advisor, they may not be entirely open to this concept, so we need to have a deeper conversation with them. It doesn't mean alienate them or divorce them. It means have an open, brave conversation with them, and we can be a part of that conversation as well. So feel free to come see us, and we're happy to try to add as much value as we can to the organization.
Yeah, to John's point, when you go to someone for advice, you have to think, how are their kids' college being paid for? And they might tell you something is not possible, or they might tell you that they are agnostic and they're fee only. So they're seeing things objectively, but they only make money when you keep money on their platform. So it's not really truly objective. They don't want you taking money off their platform and going directly into a company or a deal. So to John's point, lots of people will tell you that things are impossible or that's hard. Or like Joel Nagel said, you know, over 40 years. He's been doing offshore trust and estate structures, never once have it penetrated, et cetera. And other attorneys will say, oh, that's illegal. Offshore planning, that's illegal. No, they just don't know anything about offshore planning. So they just write it off as something that is too scary to understand. So I think that happens a lot in the finance industry and Wall Street in general. So Brittany, any last insights or any insight on how, you know, Sweet Financial has become so successful on top of like the health angle, obviously?
So there's really two things that come to mind when I think about our wealth planning business and I think about Wealth Longevity International. It's going to sound a little bit cliche, but after working with a lot of really successful, really wealthy individuals, the best investment that they will tell you time and time again that they've made is 100% in themselves. So you're looking at how do you invest in your community? How do you grow your network? How do you grow your mentorship? Mentorship was talked about yesterday afternoon. And obviously your health too. There is a great quote out there that's he who has his health has 1,000 dreams and he who does not has one. Just something to think about.
Great. Yeah, I think also investing in yourself in terms of knowing what your direct investment strategy is for your family office can be really powerful as well. Pat, any last quick insights? And we'll go down to Forrest.
Yeah. So, I mean, to piggyback off what you were saying, I think the second best piece of advice would be trust that gut feeling. Sometimes the best investment is the one you never do. Even if there's no objective reason why you're backing out of a certain deal, if you just have that something just doesn't sit right, just walk away.
Right. I heard one investor earlier this event, they said it's either a yes, a no, or too confusing to understand. So we pass. You know, Forrest?
I think I'd like to piggyback off of what was said already about taxes. And whether you're a doctor or dentist or a family office, understanding that tax situation and looking at your taxable accounts, your tax deferred and your tax free accounts. And if you don't have a self-directed IRA or self-directed HSA, come meet the guys up here from Camo Plan and Equity. Actually, I have accounts with both of those. So thank you guys. And so does my family. And Carl's been really good and a sponsor of our High Speed Alliance for a long time. So really appreciate that friendship and thank everything. But you've got to understand, I know there's a lot of second gen and third gen family offices that are here. Got to even at that level, understanding the tax-free benefit is really critical. Obviously, education is massive. And I'll pass.
Great. Thank you, Forrest. Jared, any last insights for the audience?
I'm going to come out of left field here. I imagine a lot of people in this audience here are looking for investment opportunities and things of that nature. Start looking into large language models, OpenAI, ChatGPT, et cetera. Technologies, infrastructure, systems, agencies, anything that's going to support that. Mark my words, it will be as transformational as Google was back 10, 15 years ago. I'm not sure if any of you have been using that tool as of late, but if you pay for it, it's absurd what it can do. And it's truly one of the most transformational pieces of technology I've ever seen. So I would highly recommend just researching it, playing around with it, checking into it, because I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities that support that. When you look at the ecosystems that, you know, a search engine brought about, search engine marketing, SEO, et cetera, all of the ancillary services that might provide that. So just
awesome.
Take my advice there.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Jared. Before we give them a round of applause, there's a different moderator for the next panel. Charlie's going to come up for the next panel, and it is made up of $1 billion-plus multifamily offices. It's not completely different than the perspective of hearing from these folks because, like Sweet Financial, for example, basically it serves like a multifamily office, same with Forrest's group. But when you think about a multifamily office, you know, they're serving 10 families, 50 families, 300 different families. So if you went over and you can pass through that due diligence screen, which will be tougher than getting a $10,000 check from a high net worth investor, of course, it can mean $5 million, $20 million coming across. And a $20 million check replaces 200 $100,000 checks. So it's worth time to plant seeds, listen to their insights and expertise. And I see a connection between these two panels and that one relationship can lead to big progress. Let's leave with these panelists getting a big round of applause. We'll invite our next up to the stage. Thank you.
Join the Family Office Club by visiting familyoffices.com. We look forward to seeing you at our next live event.